This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, gents. What's the good word?
This is a big day for the Giants. Big day for the Giants fan.
We've got some meaningful New York football for once.
Right? Might be fleeting.
About that.
Might be fleeting, Rick. It could be today's meaningful, and then starting tomorrow, it's like, all right, do we like the offensive lineman from Oregon, or are we going to go with Justin Fields? But for at least today, really, like, can't we at least have one day of this is an important game for the Giants?
We have to. I mean, this could be it. I mean, you're right.
It
very
well could
be it. You got to enjoy it. I mean, we deserve it. I mean, don't we? I think we do.
I mean, we need something to hold on to, no? I mean, the Knicks, we know what they are. The Rangers don't get started till January. The Islanders don't get started till January. The Yankees don't get started till...
You hope. You hope they get started in January.
Till next year. I mean, if the Giants can at least compete in this game tonight, win this game tonight, we have no semblance of a football season whatsoever for the remainder.
Especially with the Eagles being a shell of themselves, right, Dave? I mean, on a short week, you're talking about them having to deal with Zach Ertz injury, Miles Sanders injury, and then Malik Jackson being out on the defensive line. So, I mean, there are some matchups that the Giants absolutely have to take advantage of, and you're just wondering whether or not Daniel Jones and that offense are capable of doing that. Like, that's the big question. Like, there are clearly some areas that Eagles defense, especially on the back end, where you can exploit them with some of the players that you have in your skill position core, and it's going to be up to Daniel Jones to see if he can get the job done. This is one of those games that he can't afford to turn the ball over just because you can't make it easier for that Eagles offense to put points on the board. Look at their skill position players, Dave. They're a wreck right now.
The Eagles.
The Eagles, yes. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're a wreck right now. So why you can't make it easy on them by giving them field position and extra possessions with turnovers. That absolutely cannot happen tonight. Daniel Jones cannot turn the football over. It has to stop. Tonight's the perfect opportunity to do it because first place in the division is up for grabs.
But he always does, and that's the thing that I would go back to. Like, yeah, I'm excited to watch the game, and I give the Giants a semblance of a chance, but Chris and Rick, and Rick, I'll turn to you with this one. Like, why would I think he wouldn't? He always does. It's just kind of his NFL DNA that he's played well, he's made throws, he's athletic, but at the end of the day, he's going to turn the football over.
Yeah, but this is one of those rare opportunities where, you know, Carson Wentz is guilty of doing the same thing. So as a defense, I mean, and your defense has been better than advertised. I wouldn't say it's been great. It's been good.
Fine.
I mean, it's better than
it's
what
an
it
above
was last
average
year.
Defense.
Yeah, it's better than what it was last year, which was awful.
Last year was disgraceful. This year is. Yeah, you can watch them play defense. Yes.
So you have an opportunity now, and it looks like Slayton's going to play. You could get Shepard back.
Shepard might play too. Yeah.
And Carson Wentz is dealing. I mean, they're going to get DeSean Jackson back, which is nice for them. But I mean, Chris mentioned it. I mean, their skill positions right now are a mess. They're a mess. So Carson Wentz, what he's guilty of doing is trying to do too much. So force him to do too much. Make him try to make the big play and do it all by himself and turn the football over because that's what he's been doing this whole season. That's how you win. That's your path to victory.
And in a turnover battle?
Yeah, I mean, that's what's cost you. I mean, last week you had the stupid penalties because you had a couple. I mean, the play calling was good. I mean, you had plenty of opportunities. Not the week before, not versus Washington. You actually beat Washington. I mean, the week before.
Yeah, with the Cowboys, yeah.
But don't find ways. Like, I mean, this is not one of those games where you can afford to, be, first down inside the red zone and throw a pick.
No.
You can't do it.
Any games you can afford to do that with the Giants, with the fact that their offense is mediocre at best? I don't think you can ever afford to do that.
No, you can't. But this is actually a game where it's a meaningful game. I say you can't afford to
do that. I
feel
like this is a game where Daniel Jones could be the difference in the game. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I understand you say that any week about the quarterback, but this one in particular, just because of all the injuries that the Eagles are dealing with. Like, this is the one where Daniel Jones can show everybody, this is why Dave Gettleman decided to take me with the 6th overall pick a year ago. Because I'm capable of being able to win this type of game. Because it's going to come down to quarterback play. Which quarterback can avoid making mistakes? Now, I will say this. I think that we'll actually see a little bit of Jalen Hurts playing quarterback for the Eagles as well. I got to believe that Doug Peterson is going to have a package for him in a short week. It's hard to prepare for two quarterbacks, and so I think that he's going to sprinkle some of that in there, so the Giants defense has to be prepared for that. But, I mean, in terms of what Daniel Jones can bring to the party, I mean, use your athleticism. We saw with the zone read play last week where he had to pull and ran for 50 yards. Like, more of that is a good thing because he's been the source of the Giants' run game. The Giants' rushing attack has been non-existent. So, I mean, using Daniel Jones as a runner, not just a thrower, I think could be beneficial in terms of being able to sustain drives, stay on the field, and create scoring opportunities. So we'll see what happens. But, I mean, I look at this game, and the most important thing in this game is Daniel Jones going out there and not turning the football over. If he doesn't do that, you're talking about the Giants making it a fourth quarter game.
Yeah, I think at a certain point, I mean, in order for, I think, Giants fans in general to just buy into Daniel Jones, like at some point he has to be, and I think you saw, I mean, you saw this a couple times in his rookie season. We saw it in that Tampa game. You saw it a couple times against the Washington football team. Like, you have to be at a certain point the reason why your team goes out wins.
Yeah, you have to be the difference maker. Absolutely.
But, and right now, he's kind of been, I mean, he's
a
been a
passenger
detriment.
Along for the ride.
Well, he's been a detriment. I mean, he's been part of the reason why you're losing these games with the turnovers.
Yes.
And at a certain point, that has to stop. It has to. And this is one of those opportunities where you can't say, you can't go into this game with all the injuries that the Eagles are dealing with and saying that, you know, talent-wise, you're outmatched. Because that's not the case.
No.
That wouldn't be the truth.
No. And at some point, all the losing to the Eagles has to stop, right? The Eagles have won 7 straight and 11 of the last 12. Like, that has to stop. Like, this is a division opponent. You're going to see these guys twice a year, every year. This is a statement game for Joe Judge going back into Philly and seeing, you know, exactly where this program is. Coming off of a week where you got your first win against another division opponent, it'd be nice to be able to follow that up and start stacking these things.
It'd be great. And like, the optimistic fan of me is like, come on, we got to win this game. We win this game, we're right there. We're 2-5. I mean, you could be tied for the division if you're 2-5. But like, when I take a step back and I'm realistic, the Giants stink, guys. They're not a good football team. And I know that Philadelphia is all banged up, but am I getting my hopes up to just be deflated yet again tonight into the show tomorrow?
Well, you could be, Dave. I mean, based on the sample size, I would say that you are. But, I mean, listen, this season is all about trying to prove that Daniel Jones is the franchise quarterback. That was the biggest question that we had coming into this year. Could he clean up some of the turnovers? Could he prove definitively that he was your guy? I mean, it was the same conversation that we were having around the Jets, too, with Sam Darnold.
Yep.
It's just Sam is a year later. But, I mean, that's what this year is about. I mean, if the Giants happen to be in contention for the division going into the last month of the season, that's the icing on top of the cake. But the most important thing is to know that you have a franchise quarterback. Because if you don't, you know, you're going to have to adjust your plan in terms of what Joe Judge is doing and your overall program building.
Well, I don't know
if
now,
if you
Chris.
Don't have the franchise quarterback, think about how many years that sets you back in terms of, you know, the Giants trying to get to a place where they're consistently competitive. Daniel Jones isn't the answer, how long will it be until the Giants are competing for an NFC East title?
Probably at least 3 years.
Exactly. So yeah. That's why this is such an important season, and that's why I think this is such an important matchup. Prove to us that you can beat a division opponent not named Washington.
You're right. But here's the thing. We're a year in, and now we're 6 games in, so it's not like it's just dipping the toe into the water of 2020. We're really well into the season, and I don't have that answer. I mean, we're sitting here saying, if he plays well. Well, how many games has he really played well so far this season? I think there's a lot of questions around with Daniel Jones.
But the glaring thing is the turnovers. Like, outside of the turnovers, there isn't much I don't like about Daniel Jones. In all honesty, I like how he carries himself. I like how athletic he is. I mean, he stands in the pocket and delivers the football when he needs to deliver the football. Like, he'll stare down the barrel. But right now, he's in one of those situations where, I mean, I think he probably hears the noise a little bit, and I'm sure his coaching staff is harping on it every single day. It's like, you can't turn the football over. Which can play tricks to your mind, man. As a young kid trying to establish yourself and your team's not winning, that's not easy to overcome. Hopefully
no,
you can do
not.
It, but it's not.
It's not. And listen to the schedule upcoming. So if you, and I know it's a pipe dream, and I know we're looking down the road, but let's just go through it for argument's sake, right? You win tonight, you're 2-5. Chance at the end of the weekend, you're tied for first place in this division with Dallas and Washington. Then you host the Buccaneers. You imagine you lose that game.
Yes.
Then it's Washington, Philadelphia, and the Bengals. I mean, those are all winnable games.
Yeah, this is the 5 weeks that'll dictate what your season is going to be. Outside of the Tampa game.
Well, you don't think you're going to be Tampa, and then you go to Seattle at the end of that little 3-game run. You don't think you're going to get, but I mean,
if you can split with Philadelphia and you get a win against another win against Washington, like that to me would be, you know, a successful time. And then you'll see what happens after the bye week with the Bengals. That should be a game that you win, But, I mean, Cincinnati has a lot of weapons on that offense. I mean, that's not going to be – that's not one of those that you can check off as a W.
No, but it's a game you could win.
It's a game you could win. I mean, the Eagles couldn't beat the Bengals. So.
The Eagles stink.
Exactly.
This entire division stinks. Look, we could have the 4-11 Cowboys coming in to play the 4-11 Giants in Week 17 for the NFC's crown.
It's possible, Dave, with as bad as this division is. But, I mean, the only way that that happens where you're in contention for this division is if Daniel Jones gets markedly better. And that means cutting down on the turnovers and having more productivity. I mean, listen, it was a nice ball that he threw to Darius Slayton, but when was the last time before that Daniel Jones threw a touchdown pass?
Weeks.
Exactly.
It was week 1.
I mean, Gordon Damer talked about it this morning on his show. He's on pace to have 8 passing touchdowns this season.
Which is incredible. Which is unbelievable.
Come on, man.
With what's going on in the
NFL. I need more from
a
guy that I took in the top 10 a year ago. I need more than that.
Neither of these New York teams. But Chris, neither of these New York teams did their young quarterbacks any favors. Realistically. When you look at what these quarterbacks in their second year or third year have around them, again, it could be great skill positions. It could be, you know, a great defense to protect them because they're young quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, both of these teams, I mean, all of a sudden you lose Saquon Barkley. I mean, this is a completely different offense now.
But the offense wasn't good with Saquon Barkley mm-hmm. in those first two games.
No, I know, but I think the more I thought about it, the more I came to the conclusion that I think as the offensive line got better because there was no preseason and it was, you're learning on the fly.
You'd be able to have more balance on offense?
That Saquon would he'd eventually get better and better because the offensive line would get better. Because, I mean, the offensive line looked good against Washington. It did.
Yeah.
I think he got hurt by the fact that
it's never a good thing when you got a quarterback that's in his second year and you're throwing the ball 67% of the time. That's not good.
Yeah, we're sitting there talking about how he's going to win these games. Yeah. And like, oh, he's got to go and win games.
Yeah.
That's not easy for every quarterback. That's not what every first-round quarterback is.
Fair enough, but I will say this. The skill position players that Daniel Jones has to work with, a lot better than what Sam Darnold has to work with.
A lot better.
Like Darius Slayton proved in his rookie year, he's a player. Golden Tate is a veteran that's played big in a lot of situations around this league. So you know he's got talent. Evan Engram is supposed to be this all-world tight end. Now, I think he hadn't lived up to his potential, but still, that's a piece.
But still better than what the
Sterling
Jets have.
Sterling Shepard is a piece. Like, Daniel Jones has weapons. So, I mean, I don't look at the mistakes that he's made or the lack of productivity as just a lack of talent around the quarterback. He's made mistakes. He's got to play better.
And a lot of them.
And I'm sure that he knows that, but this is one of those games where it's spotlighted. Because right now your team needs you to be the difference in why they win this game on a short week. Can you go out there and deliver?
I just think if I'm a team defending the Jets or the Giants, especially with the fact that there's no Saquon Barkley for me is a huge issue. Because you always say to me, you played on the defensive side of the ball. A guy like that who you know can hit a home run. Like, you need to, like, that's the guy you're circling. We got to stop this guy, which makes it, I mean, in theory.
You got to have 8 guys on the line of scrimmage.
Okay, so now it makes it easy for Daniel Jones to throw the football.
Yeah.
Which now, all of a sudden, Devontae Freeman's fine, but he's not Saquon Barkley. So, I mean, he can rush for some yards, but he's not going to kill us. And then on top of it, at some point during whatever drive it is, your offensive line is leaky. Andrew Thomas isn't very good at left tackle. We'll have a negative play. We'll get a sack, and we'll stall your drive. So as long as I don't let Daniel Jones and Darius Slayton beat me on a big play, you're going to have a hard time scoring. And that's what the Giants have a hard time scoring.
Their offense is bad.
It's bad.
I mean, there's no two ways about it. The Giants' offense is bad. It's probably one of the worst 5 offenses in the NFL. When you look at the amount of scoring there is from all these, I mean, look at Miami. Look at Cincinnati. These teams go up and down the field. The Giants can't move the football. They scored 13 points on offense against Washington last week. They had 300 yards of total offense against Dallas when everybody gets 500 or 600. The Giants' offense is bad.
They're not a scary offense, Dave.
No.
At all. And, I mean, Darius Slayton was a great draft pick, and he turns out to be, I mean, that's a home run for Dave Gettleman.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's your best option, that's not great.
How many teams around the NFL is Darius Slayton the best option on?
The Jets?
3. Oh, okay. 3. But not a lot.
No, not a lot. Like, Evan Engram is a huge problem. The fact that Evan Engram hasn't turned into what his talent
lousy.
Would dictate is a huge
He's
problem.
Not good.
Not having Sterling Shepard is a big problem. And then losing Saquon Barkley is a huge problem.
Huge problem.
So you're asking this kid, Daniel Jones, to go out and win football games. And I think the fact that he keeps turning the football over, because I think he does have the tendency to, I mean, he competes. And when you compete like that, you're going to make mistakes. And you're going to try to do too much. And I think he's in the middle of trying to figure out, you know, what's the difference between, you know, trying to do too much and, you know, living to play another down. And until he figures that out, you're right. I mean, it's tough to trust that he's going to be a franchise quarterback if that continues to be an issue.
But the Giants' offense isn't good to begin with. And then occasionally they'll have a drive of like 14 plays, 80 yards, get down first and goal. And it's happened twice this year, and he gets picked off.
That can't happen, Dave.
But you're not good enough to allow that to happen. If you're the Chiefs and you're going to score 30 points regardless, all right, no big deal. But when you stink and once in a while you have a legitimate drive and then you turn it over first and goal because of a boneheaded decision, it's not okay.
Well, Dave, maybe it's because they can't sustain drives. And, you know, when you get into those situations, he tries to force the issue just because you don't have a lot of opportunities down there in the red area. But situational football is one of the things that we talked about with this Giants team as a whole. They got to get better at. I mean, red zone offense has to be better. They got to be better on third downs on both sides of the ball.
The Jets and the Giants have the two worst red zone teams in the National Football League.
Yes.
They're terrible.
Yes, they're awful.
The Giants are at 25% and the Jets are 23%.
Yeah, I mean, that's embarrassing.
Bad. It's bad. I mean, when you get in the red zone, you got to make sure that you preserve the opportunity to score points, even if that means you got to take a field goal. But what you can't do is try to throw the ball away, leave the ball in the field to play, and let somebody pick it off.
Especially on first down.
You can't do that. Yeah, you just got a fresh set of downs because of illegal contact. You just got a fresh set of downs. Can't happen.
You can't defend that one.
No,
there's no defending that one.
You can't. But I think the most important thing is being able to sustain drives. And that's why I say you got to allow Daniel Jones to use his legs in the run game. Like Steve Young talked about it, he doesn't like Daniel Jones' decision-making when it comes to throwing the football outside of the pocket. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about more of that zone read. And, yeah, it does create more chances for your quarterback to get hit by the opposing defense. But to me, it allows your offense to keep those opposing defenses off balance. Because if you do have the running game, maybe you see more base packages rather than nickel and dime sub packages. To me, that could be the difference in your quarterback being more productive throwing the football. If he's going up against base defenses with three linebackers rather than two linebackers and five defensive backs, guess what? They're going to be better matchups in the passing game. So to me, that's why I say you try to incorporate more of the zone read stuff in the running game, because that's something that he's shown that he's good at. And the kid's got some wheels. Like, he's got athleticism. Why not use that to his advantage?
Yeah, I feel like he gets himself in the most trouble is when he actually is in the pocket and has some extra time as opposed to just getting outside the pocket.
Mm-hmm. But when he gets outside of the pocket, make a decision and go.
Exactly right.
Make a decision and go. If you're going to get outside of the pocket, make sure you figure out what receiver you're going to try to throw the ball to. If that guy's not open, take off and run the football. Just go. Just run the football. You never go broke taking a profit. Picking up 5 yards is a win.
Every time.
You see what I'm saying? So that's what I think the most important thing is, being able to sustain drives, being able to get first downs. The Giants are 30th in average first downs per game, right in front of Washington and the Jets. That's bad. You got to be able to get first downs. You got to be able to pick up first downs. And to me, that means staying on schedule. But in order to do that, you got to have a little bit of balance with your run game, and the Giants – In conventional ways, can't run the football. Your offensive line can't get any movement at the point of attack. So to me, if you can't play big boy football, then you have to try to use some misdirection, and the zone read allows you to do that. Because you don't have a good defense for a quarterback that's going to run the football. There is no good defense for a quarterback run game.
And the Giants have had success when he runs the football. He keeps it and tucks it and runs.
Yeah, but I think every offensive coordinator is hesitant to put his quarterback in those in that many situations. Like, you don't want to believe
it with 30 times a game.
No, I know, but you don't.
A couple
times. Yeah, but you don't want to. I mean, you don't want to just admit the fact that my quarterback is our running game. Like, our best chance to run the football is our quarterback. You'd like to think you'd be able to scheme up a way to actually have the run game work, but it hasn't been the case.
Not at all.
No,
big
so
game.
So
to me, you
got
to lean into it right now. Your offense is in a state of emergency. I know you have plans and what you would like to do, but then it comes down to what you have to do. And the reality is that just lining up and trying to run the football out of conventional sets, that's not going to work for this Giants team. Not with this offensive line. They're not capable of doing it. If they were, we would have seen it by now. So, I mean, I just think that if you're Jason Garrett and you're Joe Judge, this is one of those where you got to say, you know what? We got to use what we know we can do well, which is sprinkling in the zone read and allowing that to be a part of our running game.
So last week, Devontae Freeman went 18 for 61, along with 14, and he averaged 3.4 yards a carry.
Yeah.
I mean, the running game really, it's non-existent. Really is.
Well, who else scares you? I mean, on that offense, who else scares you?
No one scares you.
So, I mean, what are you going to do?
Reverses to the tight end.
Yeah. I mean, exactly.
It worked. It actually worked. Week before, they ran the football well. Freeman went 17 for 60. Gallman went 5 for 24. But that's against Dallas.
17 for 60 is running the football well?
Well, 84 yards. Listen, 84 yards from two running backs for the Giants? Yes, is good.
Okay.
It is.
All right. About to say.
22 for 84 for the Giants, Chris, is a good job.
Okay, Dave. You're 30th in rushing in the NFL.
Yeah, they stink. I'm not.
Yeah, but as a defense,
it.
That doesn't make you uncomfortable, Dave. I mean, Chris will speak to this. As a defense, I mean, if that's what you consider rushing the ball, running the ball well, I mean, all you're doing is you're pinning your ears back, trying to get the quarterback and defending the run on the way to your quarterback.
Oh, 100%. Fletcher Cox is looking at this as a stat game. Like, he's looking at this, let me try to get my numbers up. Same with Josh Sweat and all those other guys. Derek Barnett, they're looking at this game as a get-right game. Like, they're fourth in the NFL in sacks, and based on what they've seen on tape from this Giants offensive line, they're going to try to get after it.
They should.
And if you don't threaten them with a run game, those guys are going to win one-on-ones in obvious passing situations. They are. They're just that good. I mean, the Eagles rode a four-man rush to a championship a few years back. Like, they're that good, man. I just did that. This is one of those games where you can't afford to be one-dimensional on offense. Just can't be.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance and all guests on DCR. PRB, the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. A lot of Giants calls. People want to talk about them. Let's go. 800-919-3776. Let's go down to Orlando and Vinny. Vinny, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Big fan. Former New Yorker. Regarding Daniel Jones, I agree on everything you guys said. He's got the propensity for turnovers and so forth. We all know he's got a bad offensive line. But what was the last time he actually had all his targets available? I mean, Slayton has been hobbled. Tate's never in the game. Shepard has been out. Who's he been throwing to? The last guy, they just cut somebody the other day, one of his receivers. I mean, he's got nobody to throw to, really. What do you guys think?
Well, we don't disagree with you. I mean, I don't disagree with you. I mean, Slayton has been his best option. I mean, clearly there's some chemistry between him and Darius Slayton. But that, I mean, that in saying that, that right there is a problem. Like Evan Engram is supposed to be better.
He's
supposed to be better. Not having Sterling Shepard is a problem.
But we know. Like, we're not going to be surprised when Evan Engram goes four catches for 27 yards.
Well, you don't.
Like, that's what he is.
He's supposed to be the guy that threatens the defense, though.
But he doesn't.
But he doesn't, which is a problem.
He's lousy.
There's really no one. Occasionally, you know, there'll be a big play down the field to Darius Slayton, but that's few and far between. Like, there was no one on the Giants' offense that scares the defense.
No.
At all.
Barkley did, and he's not here.
Right. So, I mean, that's... But again, to Chris's initial point, is that just puts more emphasis on the fact that, you know, Daniel Jones can't afford to make mistakes. Because if you're already having a hard time moving the football, getting first downs, and scoring points, the last thing you want to do is put your defense, which has actually been pretty good, in bad spots. Because it feels like at some point during this game, Carson Wentz will turn the ball over.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah, that train ain't never late.
So win that battle. So that would be the matchup that I would be focused on if I was Daniel Jones. I don't have to go out and win the game, but just don't do anything to lose it.
And especially when you get into the red area, because this Philadelphia Eagles defense is not good in the red zone either. They're 27th in red zone defense. So they'll give you opportunities to score points. Just don't throw the ball to the guys in the green jerseys. Don't do that.
Matt in Queens. Matt, you're next up on 98.7.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's stressful.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. Nice. I listen to you guys every day. Really enjoy the show.
Thanks, Matt.
I miss you for the third hour, though. I got to say that. I really do. The 2 hours isn't enough.
I don't know what we're supposed to say, but we appreciate that you miss us.
We don't disagree with you.
Okay. Well, you know, that's. I mean, look, I'm a long-time listener, and, you know, that's my opinion. I missed the third hour. Anyway, I mean, going to this Giant game, I mean, it doesn't matter that the Giants aren't a good team and then have no chance of winning a championship. They're in a race to win the division. So I got to see which players are going to help me and which, you know, can't rise to the moment. So obviously, as you've been talking about, I mean, all I want to see from Daniel Jones is don't make mistakes and make the right decisions as quickly as possible. That's something for the coaches to look at tape. I can't see it on TV as good. But that's the critical thing. Just, you know, don't make the mistakes. Don't turn the ball over. And play good when the pressure is on. The pressure is on now because you got a chance to win the division. Doesn't matter what your record is. Doesn't matter that the division is lousy. You have a chance to win the division. So the playoff pressure is on right now. You perform under the pressure or you don't, and that's the end of it.
That's what it's going to come down to. I mean, this could be one of the only meaningful football games that the Giants play this year.
Is it. And thanks for the call, Matt. If you don't win tonight, your season is basically developmental and where are we going to select? If you win tonight, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I don't know that there's a lot of games that a fan base would say, if we win, we're absolutely in this division. And if we lose, we're probably going to have a top five pick in the NFL draft.
That's how bad the NFC East is. I mean, that's how bad this division is.
This is a big difference this game tonight.
And I think you bake in the fact, too, that this is where Joe Judge is from. I mean, you heard what he said. He's got all these, you know, friends and family coming to the game. You wear green, you're dead to me. You can't root against my kid's Christmas, so you better be wearing blue.
Well, he's right.
Well, that means something, too. I mean, when you realize, I mean, we have, you know, games where if I played in Boston, I put money on the board. Wherever you play or whatever team, you put money on the board. If the coach, you know, used to coach somewhere, or that's where he's from, you put money on the board. Like, guys in the locker room realize that, you know, it has extra importance for certain people.
That's I'm why just I was tired of watching the Giants lose to the Eagles, man. I'm tired of it.
I think we all are.
No, it's got to
I mean, the Cowboys, the Eagles, all they do is lose to these teams.
Can I ask another question? You got no Saquon Barkley, I get it. But, yeah, I mean, you signed Freeman, you still have Gallman, and you got Deion Lewis. Explain to me why they don't throw the ball to their running backs more often. Isn't that why you have Deion Lewis?
Yeah. He doesn't play a lot.
No, I know he doesn't play a lot, but I'm sitting here looking at, I mean, the receptions and receiving yards for your running backs. If you can't run the football,
let the short passing game be an extension of the run game?
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, especially with screens.
Get the ball out of your quarterback's hands. Yeah, I mean, get it out of his hands so he doesn't turn it over and get it in the guys who can make plays. I don't understand why they're hesitant to do that. I thought that's why Deion Lewis is on this team.
It is.
He's only got 10 receptions for 65 yards in six games.
I know.
Let's get creative. Come on now.
I don't know if I'd be excited or terrified about this game tonight.
No, you're excited. Stop it. You'll be.
I want to be.
This is all you got.
This is
all
I got.
Put all your energy into tonight.
This is all I got.
If it kills you and you're bad tomorrow, we'll pick you up.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Is all I
as
got.
As long as you promise me you give me one good UFC read, that's all I ask.
I got it right in front of me.
I love that read. Oh, love it.
I've been working on the name.
A little Khabib action. It's my favorite.
Nurmagomedov.
There you go, Dave.
yes.
I mean, I so got good. It. God, Nurmagomedov. I mean, you think go. On day three I'm not going to get this read? No.
No, you got it. But this is why you're the best in the business.
Nurmagomedov, baby. Undefeated. Undefeated Khabib.
Got a nice little time, too. You see the start time on that?
It's in the afternoon, isn't it?
It's like 2, right?
2 yeah. 2 p.m. Right when the little guy's taking a nap on me. Perfect.
Nice. Works out beautifully. All right, so Sal Pal at 10. You know, today is Thursday, which means a little CMT later on as well.
A little CMT action? All right.
Yeah. Obviously, we'll get into World Series. Game 2 goes to the Rays. Game 3 tonight right here on 98.7
ESPN. Game 3 is on Friday. There you go.
Game 3 is Friday?
Yes.
Friday. Yeah. I thought there's no days off.
Day off today.
Day off in the World Series. 2 days off in the World Series.
Why?
Because it's the World Series.
It's the World Series.
So what?
That's a TV situation.
I was told there's no days off this postseason.
Who'd you speak to? Bill Belichick?
I was told there's no days off.
Speak to the right people. No game tonight.
Somebody at our station told me no days off.
And there you go.
This week.
And there you go.
No days off this postseason.
They'd be like, listen to Adam Gase. I mean, what are you doing? Come on. You know better than that.
Yeah, it's a bad job. But I can say Nurmagomedov, so I at least get a little credit there. Right?
Well done.
That's all we ask. I don't ask much in the 2 hours. That's all I ask.
That's all you ask.
That you get the
name. I got the name. There are certain songs that as we come back, I'm like, oh, I know he loves that song.
It's a good song.
Listen, I said nothing wrong about it. But I know that it puts me in a good mood.
There are just some songs that put you in a good mood.
Yeah, and that's a song that puts you in
a good
mood. I mean,
a lot of country music. There's a lot of, you know, country music songs that put you in a in a good mood. There's some country songs that the
that song from the Zac Brown Band reminds me of you too, Rico.
A little Chicken Fried?
Yeah, oh, that song reminds me of that song.
Some sweatpants that fit just right.
That's it.
Since I don't even know what jeans are anymore.
When was the last time you put jeans on?
Not since February. I mean, the last time that we did a show.
Right.
I don't even wear jeans. No, time out. I don't even wear jeans to the show. Scratch that. I don't even know when the last time I put jeans on.
When was the last time you put non-sweatpants or shorts on?
It had to be February. I mean, I have two outfits. I have like my grocery store outfit that has to be like left in the garage and then
washed. Is that still same stress level, the grocery store, or has it calmed down a little bit?
No, same.
It's still like...
That's even worse now that we have the baby. I mean, it was bad when she was pregnant. It's even worse now. It's brutal now, to be completely honest. Because I still have to do everything still. Like, I got to go grocery shop, and then I got to bring it back. I got to take it out of the car. I got to wipe it all down. I got to put it in other bags. They go from the grocery bags, which are dirty, to other bags. And then those bags get filled with stuff that isn't, like, non-perishables.
Wait, other bags? I'm confused. When does it go to other bags?
So I don't bring my own bags to go grocery shopping, right? So I get the bags at wherever grocery store I go to. I have a couple different ones that I frequent.
All right, so you get the bags from that store.
Yeah, there's like a grocery store where I go to get lettuce, and I'm all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Are you one of these, like you go for lettuce at one store and like meat at another store?
No, I usually go to Whole Foods for most of the things that we get, and then they don't really have a good lettuce selection, like for the iceberg and stuff, so I go to a different place for the iceberg lettuce and the other... You know, bags of lettuce. And then I'll bring the groceries home in those bags. I'll take them all out. I wipe down all the stuff that needs to be, everything needs to be wiped down. And then I put the stuff in the garage refrigerator, which was the best investment I ever made. So that stuff goes in there. And then the stuff that's going in the house, I got to bring other bags from inside the house.
Oh, my God.
That haven't seen the real world. And then I got to put the other stuff that doesn't have to go in the refrigerator in those bags. And those go in the hallway and aren't allowed to be touched for 2 days. And then I got to take them out of those bags and then put them away.
Wow.
Yeah, this is what we're talking about.
My God.
It's a hell of a protocol.
And I still have time to clean, you know, fix toilets, churn butter.
Wait, churn butter?
Yeah, I'm Amish life, baby.
There's no way you're churning butter.
No, there's no chance.
Okay. And if you were, what a waste of time. Can you think of a bigger waste of time? Now you can buy a stick of butter for like $2. Why would anybody churn their own butter?
Well, I don't know. Just it's a good hobby. I mean, you're looking for hobbies during the pandemic. I mean, I'm carving.
Are you really like you need to churn butter?
Well, maybe I'm a great butter churner. Who knows? I didn't realize I could carve pumpkins the way I can carve pumpkins.
Yeah, that's a skill.
Got a beautiful
T-Rex pumpkin.
You can
just buy Lando Lakes. You don't have to churn your own butter.
Maybe I'm good at it. Maybe my butter's better than anyone else's butter.
You have great butter?
I could have delicious butter. With nut butter. Who knows what kind of butter?
Wow.
All sorts. I mean, it's in right now. Almond butter.
Dave, this is when you're supposed to move the conversation
along,
man.
Yeah, Dempsey Bronx. Come on, Dempsey, 98.7 ESPN. Yeah, you got it.
Dave, CC, Humpty. All right, let's change this conversation because I'm lost. Lost in the butter sauce. But Dave, what do we have but hopeless optimism? We have to support the Giants. I will do it till the day I die. Aren't you with me?
Yes and no. I mean, I'm excited for the game. It's a meaningful game. But Dempsey, if they lost this game 24-6, would you be surprised and not angered tomorrow morning?
Yeah, I'd be angered, but surprised, no. I think I'm numb to the anger, but I have the optimism. I'm dead, and I'm just shooting optimism. If it doesn't bring me to life, I'm still dead. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Listen, you're right. It doesn't cost you anything to be optimistic. You might as well be at this point.
But then you're disappointed.
Yeah,
so
what?
If you get too excited and optimistic for the game.
The disappointment doesn't hurt anymore. The disappointment doesn't hurt anymore.
Dave, it's better to love and lost than never to loved at all.
Love and lose.
Whatever it is. Love and lose and never to love at all.
Yeah, I get that, but they stink.
Well, that's fine. You lose. Maybe I send you some homemade churned butter, and you feel better.
Oh, yeah, that's great. We'd have to put it through the 2-step process of like keep it on the patio for a couple days, and then bring it into the garage for a couple days, then change bags into the freezer for a couple days.
What would you do though? What would you do if all of a sudden at your front door there was like this package for me, and it was homemade butter?
I would have tremendous respect for you. If you said if I got like a FedEx of homemade butter.
Oh, I might do that now. Let me Google how to make butter.
How great would you? You wouldn't even know how to make butter.
What do you mean I wouldn't know how to make butter?
You know how to make butter?
It's not difficult to make butter.
So right now, without looking at anything, you know how to make butter.
No, I'm not saying I know how to make. I know how to make. I know how to make mayonnaise. I don't know how to make butter. No, I've never made butter before. But
that's what I'm saying.
Difficult.
So you get so agitated, you don't know how to make butter.
Yeah, I didn't know how to fix the toilet, but I figured it out, and now it works beautifully.
Yeah, but I don't have to eat the toilet.
You got to actually get off of it before you flush it, otherwise it'll suck your intestine right out. That's the kind of that's what I did to this thing. And so this is easy. All I got to do is pour cream into the jar, screw on the lid, shake jar until butter forms a soft lump, 15 to 20 minutes. Pour contents of the jar into a fine mesh strainer. Strain out the buttermilk, leaving the solid butter. Sounds very easy.
Yeah, I don't. I'd rather
might do that today. Like,
sounds very involved.
I can't believe it's not butter.
Yeah.
you won't believe that this is butter.
That's what you should name your butter. You won't believe that this is butter. Dave in Cranford. Dave, you're on 98.7.
Man, this is fun, guys. I mean, oh my gosh, I didn't even know where to go with this.
Hey, yeah, neither do we. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, Rick and Dave, give me 10 seconds with Mr. Canning for 10 seconds, and then I'll jump back in. So Chris, when you signed your free agency deal with the Giants back in the day, I was literally emailing with your agent, begging him to make the deal at the end, just to let you know. And he was nice enough to email me back when the deal was done, like, hey, he's coming. Like, so I just
of course he was nice enough. Think about the mood he was in. He was going
to
get 3% of the contract.
Mood. I get it.
I bought him his place at the Shore Club in Miami. Of course he's going to be cool.
And I still remember you're just like Eli. There were two great players in the 49er championship game. Eli on offense and you on defense. And you got me nervous at the end of that game because they, like, cheap shotted you from behind. I didn't think you were going to be able to play in the Super Bowl, but you got up, you know? I don't know if you remember that play, but at the end of the game.
I do remember that play.
Okay, I'm sure you do. So hey, my whole thing with Daniel Jones and the Giants is this. If you remember back to the days of the great Bill Parcells and Phil Sims, I actually think that the problem with Daniel Jones right now is everybody is saying to this kid in his ear, be careful, oh my gosh, don't turn it over, be careful. And I get it, but there's two things in the NFL today that you need to have. One is, I get that you don't want to have turnovers. I get it, and that's a big statistic. But the other one today that's just as important as not having turnovers are explosive plays down the field. You have to have them in your offense. You've got to take shots. You've got to take some shots down the field. And I actually think that if you think back to Bill Parcells, there's a famous conversation between him and Phil Sims before the games, you know, when they were really doing well, and Parcells is saying to Sims, hey, don't be so nervous today, take some shots. I think someone needs to be in Daniel Jones's ear telling him to take some shots, because you know what,
yeah, but here's the thing,
the kid's got talent, but
here's the thing though, and this is why it's been tough for these two young quarterbacks in New York. It's easy to say that, but when your team consistently loses and you're turning the football over, that becomes everyone's focus. You can take shots if you have, I don't know, a great defense that's going to win you games, because no one's really focused on
Yeah, if you got the 86 Giants defense, you can take some shots.
Exactly right. But, I mean, to his point, he's right. Like, if that's in the back of your mind the entire time, like, don't turn the football over, what do you think? It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Of course. When that's all you think about, then you're panicked and you don't do the rest of your job as well.
And I think that's creeped into his mind a little bit. I mean, I don't know how it couldn't.
He just doesn't have the same kind of margin of error, because you're talking about a different team from a talent standpoint. And that's why Daniel Jones can't afford to give away the football. Rick, you talk about it all the time, man. The biggest thing in a game, when you start talking about the different numbers, if you win the turnover battle, you have a significantly greater chance of being able to win that game. I mean, for all the other metrics that people want to throw out there and talk about, DVOA and average yards per play, all of that other garbage, if you win the turnover battle, you got a really good chance of winning that game. And unfortunately, the Giants have found themselves on the losing side of the turnover battle more often than not when Daniel Jones is the quarterback. I mean, you're talking about what? He's got 32 turnovers in 19 games?
Tons. He turns the ball over every single game.
It would be a different story if last touchdown pass you threw wasn't the first you had thrown since week one.
Yeah.
Like, if you're turning the ball over, and on top of it, yeah, I mean, you go 16 quarters without have a passing TD. That's an issue.
That's an eternity in today's NFL, where you're setting scoring records left and right.
Every turnover is big, but it seems like he has huge turnovers. Doesn't it, like the one in Dallas, fumble, you know,
game-changing turnover,
touchdown.
It's a game-changing turnover.
The one against Pittsburgh where you go all the way down the field, you have momentum, and you get picked on first and goal. The one against Washington, which really, I mean, almost cost you the game. Like, these are the one against the Rams where you're driving in for a tying score. Like, these are huge, huge turnovers.
Glaring. Because, I mean, these are turnovers that are taking points off the board on a team that struggles to score points. You can't afford to do it. It would be like, to make an NHL analogy, it'd be like the Islanders, who power play isn't very good. Like, you're almost just trying to kill the 2 minutes because your power play is bad. But on top of not scoring power play goals, you're giving up shorthanded goals.
Exactly.
Which you can't afford to do.
Because now you're shooting yourself in the foot. Justin and Holmdel. Justin, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Just a quick point about the social media era hurting New York sports more than any other city or sports area. I think just based off the era we live in with social media, and you know, you can be the most loved athlete in Kansas City and be the richest athlete in the world in Kansas City. I think social media has hurt New York sports more than any other area in the country.
How,
I mean,
so?
What's the positive of playing in New York now? You're going to have the highest taxes. You're going to lose the most money of your contract.
Yeah, but you're also going to make the most. You're also going to make the most. But time out. You're also
going to make the most off the field.
The most money. Yeah. Like if you're Pat Mahomes, it doesn't matter where you play, you're going to make money. But I mean, how much do you hear about Odell Beckham Jr. besides the fact that he just got banned from LSU for 2 years?
Yeah,
you don't.
That's a good point. Yeah, but at the same time, you're still losing money. Like, you could.
New York is the worst place to play when you're losing. It's the best place to play when you're winning. That's just what it is.
No one's won besides the Giants.
I would know something about that.
Just take
it from me. It's the best place to win. It's the worst place to lose.
But how is that, Justin? How is that social media's fault?
You know what he's saying is that you're not going to get like it's not as. What's the benefit of if you're a free agent? What's the benefit of coming to New York? If you're
what you just said,
and then
I just said, because I was a free agent,
no
that made the
to
decision
win.
To come to New York.
There's no better place to win, and you think
there's
the
no
Knick,
better place
think,
to win.
You think the Knicks stink because of social media?
No, but I think part of his argument would be that if I'm, you know, one of these superstars in the NBA, I can, you know, have the shoe deal and the endorsements somewhere else. Why would I go?
Still,
you know,
not New York.
No, I know, but it would be. I mean, I think it'd be different. I think you'd be willing to overlook all those different things he talked about as far as taxes and everything else. You know, pressure from the media. If you felt comfortable with how the organization was being run.
Yeah.
That's ultimately why you don't play on the Knicks.
Yeah. We got a lot of dysfunctional sports franchises in New York. A lot of them. I mean.
And right now, athletes are smartened up. I'm not going to waste.
What do you
I'm
probably have, what, three franchises that you feel like are well-run in New York right now?
Yankees, Islanders, Rangers.
Yeah.
And you keep your fingers
the
crossed
Bills.
With the Mets.
And the Bills.
Stop with the Bills. And you keep your fingers crossed with the Mets.
But why? I mean, I think athletes have gotten to the point now. Why would I waste my prime on poorly run teams?
You wouldn't. When I can sit anywhere in the country and watch any game going on, it's not like, you know, Western Conference that I don't know what's happening anymore. That you know, that Devin Booker is a secret out west. You know everything going on with every team right now.
No, Devin Booker's not a secret because you're a sports fan. But if Devin Booker was a New York Knick,
it would be bigger. Of course,
yeah, it would be huge.
But that's the way with anything.
It's going to be magnified if you played in New York.
You take any of these players and you put them here in New York, they're going to be bigger. Giannis is huge. You don't think Giannis would be bigger in New York?
Of course he would be.
Anybody would be.
But I don't know how much the social media thing moves the needle in terms of magnifying the scrutiny that you're going to face. I mean, New York was always a place like if you played and didn't play well, you're going to get criticized. The media is going to kill you. That's just what it is. But when you win, the media is going to praise you, and you're going to have a parade down the Canyon of Heroes with 3 million people. Like, that's unbelievable. And New York always remembers their winners.
Always.
Always. They always celebrate championship teams. So, yeah, there's no better place to win than in New York.
There's no worse place to lose and no better place to win.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the taxes out in California are crazy, too, by the way.
Crazy. About
the taxes in Cali are worse than the taxes in New York.
You got the weather, though, in Cali, at least.
You pay for it with your taxes.
No, I know. I'm not disagreeing with the weather. I'll tell you what. I mean, You set me up in San Diego with that weather.
That whole entertainer tax thing is crazy to me, too, though.
It's ridiculous.
That's crazy. Well,
what percentage is that, by the way?
I think it's like, what is it, like 3%, Rico? 3%. Something like
that? When you try doing your taxes, if you've, God forbid you ever decide as a professional athlete to try to do your own taxes, forget it.
No, you can't do your own taxes. You got to file every place you play.
You'd be like, you'd end up like Wesley Snipes. That's what would happen.
So you have to file taxes
everywhere.
Every
place
state
you play? Yeah.
And Rick, that's for you, too?
Well, not now, because I'm not playing anymore.
No, but for hockey also?
Yeah, same thing.
So what happens when you play in Canada?
You're paying the tax in wherever you're playing. Toronto, wherever it ends up being.
Wow.
I think it's the same in Canada. I'm not 100% sure. But I know getting the list of, like, getting all the...
I had to pay city and state taxes in those places.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, because guys were getting pissed too. Because like you'd go, like your team would go, but that would be a game. Like, you know, say you went on the trip, but you didn't play in the game. Because your team went on the trip, they naturally just tax you.
They still tax you, yeah.
But you're like, well, why am I getting? I didn't play. What am I getting taxed for? So you got to deal with that whole fiasco.
That's why if you can get that signing bonus in a state with no income tax, whew. Mm-hmm. That is the move.
Yeah, see, and the NHL smartened up too, because when you get the signing bonuses too, you don't buy out the signing bonus. When you get bought out, the signing bonus is its own separate
entity. Oh, it's separate? Okay, yeah. That's smart.
So you still get that money.
Yeah.
And they take the 2/3 of whatever else. That's why, like, that Shattenkirk had that huge, it was like a $6.5 million cap hit or something,
because
it was the signing bonus. Mm. You can't spread that out.
That is smart.
Smart.
Yep.
This is why I mean,
you need the best coverage in
new
not
agency.
Just football. Yeah, right? We go to a man who's always in a good mood, the great Andy from Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. Gentlemen, Big Ten football is back. Check out Fowler, Herbie, and the gang Saturday, ESPN on ABC. Check your local listings.
What a job.
Thank you. Hey, listen, I got to pay the basement rent with you somehow, Dave.
There you go. That's right.
With Big Ten football coming back, we're going to take you out to Columbus, Ohio for 4 questions about Buckeye Nation.
Okay.
Starting with, this Heisman Trophy winner holds the school record with 314 yards rushing in a single game. Name him.
Is it Eddie George or Archie Griffin? What do you guys think?
Yes, it is Eddie George or Archie Griffin.
Chris, you have any idea?
I'm sitting here thinking, Dave.
What was your initial instinct? What was your initial instinct, Dave?
Eddie George or Archie Griffin? Was my I really don't know.
I lean toward Eddie George.
Yeah. All right, let's go Eddie George.
When CeCe leans, CeCe gets what he wants. Eddie George is correct.
Yeah. All right.
Speaking of Eddie George, he ranks number 2 with 24 rushing touchdowns in a single season. Can you tell me what fullback holds the school record with 25 rushing TDs in a single season?
So this got to be
Pete Johnson.
Good. What was that, Rick?
Pete Johnson.
Oh, baby, save DiPietro.
Nice.
Nicely done. All right.
That was terrific.
34 career receiving TDs is a school record from this Buckeye legend. He looked more like a bodybuilder than a wide
receiver. Oh, that's David Boston.
David Boston.
Yeah.
You see, again, you guys are just way too good. The 4th question's a challenging one. He holds the Buckeye career sack record, 36 sacks over a 4-year period. Name this Super Bowl champion.
Is he a head coach
Mike
in the NFL?
Yep.
He is a head coach in the NFL. Tennessee's Mike Vrabel is correct. Guys, you are all over this stuff. I'm going to have to come a little hotter later this
Let's
week.
Let's not get crazy.
No, come on, Andy. Right. Chill out.
Tomorrow, NFL day, Andy. Have a great day.
Fellas, let's be careful out there, and as always, stay healthy, boys.
Oh, terrific. The great Andy from Memphis.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Kicks them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.